Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is the full show from today's episode of Undisputed from start to finish. We've got a busy slate, so skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
February, GQ writer and huge LeBron fan, Mark Anthony Green, came on the show and made a bet with Skip that if LeBron made the finals, then Skip would be forced to say 10 positive things about LeBron here on Undisputed. And now that we're just a little over 24 hours away from game one, the time has come, Skip. The floor is yours. It's time to say some positive things about LeBron. I'm really looking forward to this.
Mean it. Not no bull jive. Mean it.
First, I would like to publicly thank the Los Angeles Clippers for doing this to me. And yet, before I launch into my 10 nice things about LeBron James, and I ask you to feel free to chime in. Even though people think I hate LeBron, and I hate the word hate because I do not hate LeBron.
No, you don't hate LeBron. You just hate her.
All of the things I'm about to say, I have said multiple times on this show and on other shows I have been on through my career.
Okay.
Number one, LeBron James was the greatest high school basketball player ever, even greater than Lou Alcindor at Power Memorial in New York City. And for those who don't know, he then became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he is regarded as the greatest, most dominant high school basketball player ever. LeBron was better because LeBron could pass it and dominantly score the basketball. Any issues with that?
I'm going to go with Kareem, but okay.
Oh, you won't even back your guy on this? Well, I'm trying to be nice here, right?
Well, you got to give me something that I can sink my teeth into.
Number two. No player in the history of the National Basketball Association has stood up better to an NBA debut expectation the way LeBron James did at Sacramento the night of October 29th, 2003. I watched every dribble of it because I was fascinated, because on his back was tattooed, as we often talk, the chosen one. Sports Illustrated had crowned him the king before he even arrived in the league. And that night at Sacramento, that's the weight of the world on that young man's shoulders. At age 18, he scored 25 points with 6 rebounds and 9, count them, 9 assists. Mm-hmm. Now, he was 0 for 2 from 3 and 1 for 3 from the free throw line, but he went 12 of 20 from the field. And as soon as that game ended, I sat back and said, a star is born, because you never know exactly how a young man at 18 will deal with NBA, you know, like grown-up kind of pressure, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a highly impressive. I think you can have no quibble with anything.
Okay, that was a great outstanding day.
Outstanding. Number three, since LeBron James has entered the NBA, he has been the best passer in basketball, and he remains to this moment the best passer in basketball. Mm. I've only said that on this show a thousand
you,
times.
You spell player wrong. Mm. You said passer, but you spelled it wrong. Mm. P-L-A-Y-E-R, not P-A-S-S-E-R. Mm. Player, not passer, okay. Both.
Well, it's one little thing that I'm pointing out that he is the very best at.
At playing, yes. Game of basketball, okay, go ahead.
Number four. LeBron James, as I've said 10,000 times on the show, is still the greatest driver of the basketball I have ever seen. A 6'9", 260-pound freight train to the rim. Never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
Number five, no athlete has ever been a more consistently powerful speaker on race or social justice topics. Nobody is in this man's league when it comes to the power of his platforms that he has created and maintained. Nobody has taken more advantage of those platforms in the history of sports. Thank you very much. Number six, LeBron stood up to pressure I don't believe any NBA player has ever faced or felt. In Game 6 at Boston in 2012, Now, this is because he had suffered some epic failures against Orlando in 2009, against Boston in 2010 before he left Cleveland, and then in his first go-around with the Heat in the finals against Dallas in 2011. That set up what was happening against Boston, this in the conference finals in 2012.
Yes.
They went up 2-0. They lost 3 straight games. Game 6 is in Boston. And trust me, I knew a bunch of people at ESPN who said, we got to drive over and see this, because even the staunchest LeBron defenders and apologists were starting to doubt if he was made of the right stuff. Okay. And they went over on that night to watch what was about to transpire. The Heat won that game by 19 points because LeBron dominated from start to finish with 45 points, 15 rebounds, and only 5 assists. But let's just keep it at 45 and 15. Wait, 45 and 15 rebounds?
Yeah.
That was, in most people's eyes, the greatest game he ever played, facing the most pressure he'd ever faced.
Well, Skip, the reason why he only had 5 assists is because he was not in passing mode.
He just shot.
He's out. I'm in attack mode.
Okay. 45 and 15.
Yes.
Then they went home for game 7 and just rolled.
31-12 for him.
Okay, you got it. Fair enough?
Yep.
Point number 7. I love the humility that LeBron James displayed moments after he finally broke through and won his first ring in game 5 in Miami against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He said live on ABC right after the game, it's about damn time.
Yeah.
And that was a perfectly beautiful way to put that, because I sat back and said, yep, you're right. Mm-hmm. He did that. He was the finals MVP, and they won in 5 games. You give me that one?
I'll give you that one.
Okay, good. Number 8. In 2013, LeBron James played a great Game 7 against my Spurs. 37, 12, 4, and 2 steals. That was a great Game 7 against what was left of my Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough?
Yep.
Okay, I'm giving you that. It's a really nice thing for me to say. Number 9, LeBron James is the most durable superstar ever. I've said that 100,000 times on this show. He is Iron Man. The only other athlete who rivals the dedication that LeBron pays and puts into his fitness routine is Tom Brady. But the irony of what I just said is that LeBron plays much more of a contact sport than Tom Brady plays. Mm-hmm. Am I right about that?
He does.
LeBron takes way more contact than Brady, you know, sort of puts himself in harm's way to take in football because he's just going to get rid of the football, right? He's not going to run with it. He's rarely going to be
hit. And plus the rules have been implemented to protect him.
That is correct. Okay? Fair enough?
Okay.
Iron Man. Number 10, LeBron James should have been the regular season MVP this season. I said it, I don't know, 19 times on this show, and I will say it one more time. He deserved the MVP. He was better in the regular season than even Giannis was, and the narrative was better because he did bounce back off a lackluster first year, first go-around with the Lakers. Fair enough?
Fair enough, Skip, but there was a lot of generalities in there, a lot of generic compliments. I didn't hear anything about clutchness, which he is. You know, number 4.
Well, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you can. And I don't know. I mean, I might go towards Muhammad Ali and using his platform, Jackie Robinson, but maybe they didn't have the reach. Because obviously no social media.
Okay, but even Muhammad in his day, I don't think he spoke out as much as LeBron has consistently over his whole career.
Once
Muhammad lost his job, you know, like they wouldn't let him fight anymore.
Yes. Well, I don't think he was like, okay, I'm gonna do what I have to do and live in America. Although I see things going on, when they took, he changed his name because he no longer wanted to be identified by his, he says that's his slave master's name. And he started to speak out when he saw y'all was trying to send me over there to kill them, and y'all right here in America killing us. Nah, I'm good. The Viet Congs ain't never called me the N-word. Mm-hmm. They don't turn no dogs on me. They don't stick no water cannons on me.
I got no quarrel with them Viet Cong.
Got none. Mm-hmm. Skip, look, you could have just put this in a nice little nutshell. Mm-hmm. I could have saved you probably 7 minutes. Mm. All you had to do was say LeBron James, the greatest basketball player ever. Boom, we'd have been done.
Well, I'm not going to tell a lie. because he's clearly not.
He is.
But I will give you a bonus nice point, number 11. LeBron James is truly a nice guy. I'm going to give you that.
No, I don't want it. Skip.
That's it.
We don't want it.
Period, end of story. I paid my debt. It's over. Now back to business.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is that you refuse to give the man the due that he deserves.
What does he deserve? He's 3-6 in the finals.
Hold on.
I just paid off my bet. What do you want?
If you're not Sam Jones, if you're not LeBron James, if you're not Kareem, if you're not Russell, you don't know what it's like to go to 10 finals. So if it was so easy, if it's so easy to get to the finals out of the East, why haven't more players gone to the NBA finals?
Well, he was just born at the right time.
Huh?
He was born into a cakewalk of an East.
Don't do that, Skip.
And he did it. Way to go.
Skip.
And he's right now on the easiest path to a ring in the history of past.
That's not what you said at the beginning of the season. Mm. You said if he wins this would be his most difficult because he was going to have to go through the Clippers and he was going to have to deal with the Nuggets and he was going to have to deal with James Harden and Russ.
Did he have to go through the Clippers?
They're in the West. Hold on, Skip Bayless, wait a minute.
Did he have to go through Kevin Durant and Kyrie? No.
Hold on, time out. So let me get this right. So the way you want the playoff to work now for LeBron James is that he got to beat the Clippers, even though they get knocked out. He needs to come over there and play the Nets, even though Kevin Durant. He needs to play all the top teams. That's not how it works.
When the bubble began, what did the odds makers say? Who was favored to win it all?
The Clippers.
The Clippers were favored to win the whole thing.
Okay, then.
Right?
Okay, then. So what happened? Y'all had the same, hold on. Y'all make it seem like the Clippers went to the bubble and we got to stay in L.A. and then we just traveled to and from the games. No, we were in the bubble under the same conditions, under the same confinement, just like the Clippers. Mm. One team gagged, the other team didn't.
Mm.
We're the superstar.
One team looked ahead to the Lakers and the other team was the Lakers.
Skip, what you looking ahead for?
Way to go.
What you looking ahead for? What have the Clippers done to look ahead with that history? With the history of being losers, what are they looking ahead for?
Kawhi Leonard has 2 finals MVPs.
Where'd he get
those? He has history on his
side. Did he get it with the Clippers?
No.
Hold on, my guy got 3. My guy had gone to nine. So what you mean?
I have already congratulated your guy on winning his 4th ring in 10 tries.
We don't want no
4-6.
Congratulations.
4-6. It's over. It's
we don't
done.
We don't want that.
Lakers in 5.
And I'm sure I will get a call today. And some people are going to be telling me, Shannon, that was a lot of generalities, generics. And I'm like, you're absolutely correct.
Generalities?
So, yes, generic. Oh, he was all-time clutch. You're going to talk about he was clutch in Game 7 after you say he gagged and choked in Game 6.
Well, he did.
No, he didn't.
I didn't bring that up. Yeah. You did.
But the fact of the matter...
He missed the shot. He missed the time shot. He LeBricked it off the back iron.
The difference between my guy and the guy that you call the best player in Kawhi, he had a lead. Your guy had lead going into 4.
I don't care about Kawhi. I only care about Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Hold on.
Case closed. Next, Jenny?
So
why didn't Michael go to 10
finals? I paid my debt.
Why didn't Michael go to finals 10 times?
Curious, Skip, how long did it take you to put that list?
He played 15 years.
He would have gone 10 straight if he hadn't had to take a hiatus.
No. Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that. Ain't no force.
Paying off debts around here. You know, you got to get it done. Undisputed. You know,
ain't no debt.
When you say it on air, you got to pay it off.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Cam Newton is enjoying a career resurgence in New England as the former MVP has the Patriots at 2-1 and looking more and more like a playoff team. Newton was on a Boston area radio show yesterday and talked about how he's been fueled by his doubters this season. Cam said, "The fact that here I am, year 10, still having to explain the person and the player that I am, it's sometimes disrespectful because we don't question certain quarterbacks. We don't have to question Russell Wilson. We don't have to question Tom Brady. I hate to name drop, but it's just gotten to that point." Shannon, does Cam have a point?
He does. But Skip, there's a perception of how the quarterback position is supposed to talk, how he's supposed to act, how he's supposed to dress. That's just the way that's kept. I'm not saying that's right. So I don't want people to say, "Well, Shannon, you said no." I'm not saying it's right. But there is that perception. Russell Wilson has bought into that. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, all the guys that he could possibly be thinking of and mentioning, they brought into that. Cam says, I'm going to talk how I talk. I'm going to act how I act. I'm going to dress how I dress. And you're going to like it or you're not going to like it. And with that came the criticism. He the one that came with the outfits, the Dolce & Gabbana and the Versace and the big, the custom-made brims. He did that. Mm-hmm. And people like, man, look at Cam. That's not quarterback. Peyton Manning would never. See? Because that's what the expectation was. Peyton Manning dressed like John Elway and Dan Marino, and he dressed like Roger Staubach and the quarterbacks that came before them. So with Cam doing the way he did, Cam dancing. Man, you ain't never seen Drew Brees or Tom Brady out there dancing, have you? You see, there's an expectation of how a quarterback is supposed to act. And if you don't act like that, Skip, we need to know what's going on. The mere fact that they even asked Cam, why your family hadn't come out here? Why does that matter? Why are you asking about why is the family not there? So Cam Newton is the only player in the Patriots locker room that family is not out there with them. No, probably not.
I loved his answer.
Yeah.
He said it's a business trip.
He should have said none of your business. Is your wife here with you? Is your wife here? Okay, then. Don't worry about me. Skip, and he's right. After 10 years, they should know this is who Cam is.
I think they actually want to know, do you want to stay here or not?
That's not his call. That's Bill Belichick's call. And Coach Belichick.
But I think it's asked in a positive vein, like, will you commit to us? You know, are you going to stay with us?
Tom Brady wanted to stay with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Coach Belichick had other things. Cam might want to stay, but Coach Belichick, he answered it the right way. Because Coach Belichick is at anything that's not pertaining to the game, how does you stay and help us get ready for to play? Who they play, Kansas City? Don't they play Kansas City?
Yep.
How does you stay in here next year, help us beat Kansas City this weekend? So he answered it the right way. Cam is getting very smart. Cam's like, this is a business trip. I'm doing what I need to do in order to win ball game. Skip, for me, this is simple. The expectation of how a quarterback is supposed to look, how he's supposed to talk, how he's supposed to dress. Cam has shattered that myth, and people still have a problem with that. They think Cam is a problem because he dressed the way he dressed. They think Cam is a problem in the locker room because he's always having fun. He's very outgoing, and that could be furthest from the truth. That should have no bearing on how Cam is perceived, but perception is a person's reality.
Okay. So help me out here.
Yes.
Are you viewing this in any way, shape, or form in sort of a racial perspective? A black-white perspective.
I'm skeptical because they never ask Brady. They ask black players things that they never ask white players, and I just need to know why.
So I didn't even look this up. So I hope I say it correctly. But remember, there was the Bleacher Report back in 2014 during the
when they say Cam was fake.
No, it was about Seattle.
Oh, Russell wasn't black enough.
Yes, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I couldn't remember how it was phrased.
Yes.
It wasn't black enough.
Mm-hmm.
So is that operating in here, in your view?
Your Cam might be too black.
Okay.
Because I said Russell has bought in. Mm-hmm. When they said Russell is not black enough, some of his teammates believe that he wasn't black enough.
Okay.
So he's been what for the longest time, it was white quarterbacks only that played that position. He played the position. That's the way Cam's like, I'm going to do it my way.
So we're saying that some white people in the media and some white decision makers in the National Football League think that Cam is, quote unquote, too black to be a quarterback, right?
Yes.
Right? Okay,
yes.
That's the sort of the inference.
Yes.
Okay, I got that. And I do not disagree with that perception that is operating sort of under the surface.
Even some fans. Yeah.
Some fans.
Why do you gotta do like? Why do you gotta dance? Why do you have to dress like that?
Yeah.
Y'all make it seem like the man came naked or came with a thong on. He got on clothes. That's his personality. Most people dress to their personality, Skip. That's Cam's personality.
Totally.
Tom Brady dressing the way he's in Tom Ford or whatever he wears. That's his personality.
I got it. Okay. What have I always said about Cam Newton? What I have loved and defended about him is that. Even though he had a little bit of a rocky start to his career competing with Tebow for the job at the University of Florida, he went to Blinn Junior College and he won the national championship.
Yeah.
He went to Auburn and he won the whole national championship and the Heisman.
And a Heisman.
Can't do much better than that, right? First overall pick and backed it up fairly quickly with an MVP in 2015 and a Super Bowl appearance. We know he didn't play very well, but I defend him on that. I just thought Denver's defense was too good.
They were outstanding.
Outstanding, starting with the, wasn't he the MVP, Von Miller?
Yeah, Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP.
Okay.
But Skip, if you look at the week, 2 weeks before, look what they did to Brady. They did Brady just like, to Brady's credit, he was a throwaway from tying the ball game.
He was a throwaway.
But, man, they were on him all day, just like Cam.
I think it took him the whole offseason to heal both physically and psychologically from the beating.
And he had Gronk. Now, Cam didn't have a Gronk that could take some of the pressure off, and they had a time dealing with Gronk.
They had a Greg Olsen.
Right.
Pretty good. But, okay, now, here's the only flaw in this perspective. Russell Wilson has consistently performed at a very high level.
Right.
Obviously, Tom Brady has consistently performed at a very high level to the point people say, you're the GOAT. You're the best ever. Okay, Cam had a rocky 4 years after the MVP season. And you can explain it 1,000 ways. Number one point being, it's a valid excuse. He just got hurt, man.
Right.
He was just beat all to hell.
Right.
Because he ran the ball too much, as I said, he quote-unquote died for their cause.
Right.
He took too much punishment. He dished a lot of punishment out. But as you know, you keep doing that, you're just not going to last.
Yeah.
And he had all kinds of shoulders. I think he had 2 shoulder surgeries. And he had the Lisfranc injury to his foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too hard.
Right.
Okay. So 2016, 17, 18, and 19, his starting record was 23-23. Well, that's one reason people discounted him. That's one reason he stayed on the market for, it was like right at 3 months before Belichick finally said, I'll take that.
But for me, Skip, okay, if you want to say his play, but it's not his appearance.
No, no.
His record didn't happen because he was dressing like this.
No,
his record
I'm
is not because
is,
he's dead. Oh, I know, that's
I
what
think
you're
a lot of people are just sitting back saying, well, gee, we doubted because you weren't the MVP anymore.
Right.
You didn't play up to that level.
Right.
And we don't question Russell or Brady because they just keep on keeping on.
Right.
And Russell's, I don't know if anybody's ever played better than for the first.
But they never questioned Russell and Brady like they questioned him. Even when he was winning.
Off the field.
Even though when he was winning, it was like, Cam, what are you wearing? Why are you dressed like that? Well, Cam, why are you doing this? Well, it was always, well, Cam got a towel on his head, he's soaking. Well, see, the thing is with Cam, if Cam did something, he's not a great teammate. Brady does the exact same thing. That's him being a great teammate. He has passion.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
I agree.
And so that's what Cam is saying. Cam said, hold on, 1 minute. If one guy does something, he's a bad teammate. If the other guy does something, that's passion.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam like, no, me dressing has nothing to do whether or not I'm a good or bad quarterback.
Yep.
The way I'm interacting with my teammates, I'm dancing, I'm having a good time in practice. That's, if we lose a game, it wasn't because I was dancing. Even coaches have convinced us, Skip, we lose a ball game, it was because we were sitting on our helmet at practice. We sat on our helmets last week when we won. And you didn't say a word. Or, man, y'all need to clean this locker room up. That's why we're not winning the game. What the hell the locker room got? They didn't know we got a messy locker room. And so people, coaches and people start to believe that if you lose, there was a correlation between a messy locker room, sitting on your helmet, or the way Cam came to an interview. And coaches have convinced, like, you know what? Man, I get in there, I start picking up tape and I start cleaning up.
I got it.
That might have some, it ain't got nothing to do with it.
Okay. So LeBron made a statement, I think it was 2 days ago, about his career.
Yeah.
And he referred to the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way.
Right.
Well, yeah, LeBron did it his way, but he didn't do it his way like Cam is doing it his way.
Right.
It took guts for Cam to say, I'm going to be completely me. This is the way I was in high school and at Florida and at Blinn and at Auburn.
Right.
I'm going to keep on doing this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Take me or leave me. Well, the way our society works is if you back it up, if you perform at the highest level, everybody shrugs. Yeah. Right?
So I agree with Cam. Cam is like, look, this is a business trip for me.
Yep.
I'm here. That's what coaches always say. This is a business trip. Don't be going shopping. Don't be going to the mall. You're not here to go visit friends they haven't seen in 10 years. We're here to win a football game, get on the plane, and go back home. Cam says, look, I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
He did.
So it might be a business trip, Skip. It might be the weekend. It might be for the next 6 months. But I'm going to do the best I possibly can. And then after the end of the season, we'll have a discussion and see, am I here? Or am I going to, picking my bags and going elsewhere.
How great is it to have Cam Newton with that kind of motivation?
Oh, yeah, he's very motivated. Oh. I mean, you know, I guess Chicago could have used Cam.
No, they got Nick Foles. They're fine.
Okay. Okay, Nick
Foles. Just keeps on keeping on, right? I personally love Cam's style, just for the record.
Yes.
I love seeing what he's going to wear every Sunday. It's just fun. I love the personality behind it.
No mercy.
The defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs stayed undefeated last night after beating the Ravens 34-20. Patrick Mahomes looked like his usual self with an efficient 385 passing yards and 5 total touchdowns, but the KC defense was the big surprise last night, keeping the Baltimore offense out of the end zone until early in the fourth quarter. Lamar Jackson, who finished with only 97 passing yards, is now 0-3 against the Chiefs, and afterward even admitted that he looks at Kansas City as, quote, kryptonite. Super Bowl champ and Fox Sports college football analyst Reggie Bush joining us this morning. Reggie, good morning. What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
My biggest takeaway is that the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And we need to revisit that NFL top 100 list that had him ranked as the number 4 best player in the NFL. I still don't understand that list to save my life. And Patrick Mahomes just showed us the gap last night. He showed us the gap between him and Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson. He's one of my favorite players to watch. He's explosive as an athlete, and he's broken down some of those barriers week in and week out. But Patrick Mahomes is just different, and he showed us that last night at almost every play. I mean, he had the pump fakes going. He throws one of the best deep balls. To me, it's – they have a shot to win the Super Bowl again, go back to back, especially with the way their defense is playing. Their defense really harassed Lamar Jackson all night long last night. It really made it tough for him to push the football down the field. 97 yards passing is not going to get it done against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then at the end of on top of that, they got Andy Reid and they got Eric Bieniemy calling plays. Nothing but innovation. They're throwing touchdowns to tackles and fullbacks. Like, how do you defend that as a defensive coordinator? That's almost impossible to stop.
I agree with you, Reggie. I agree with everything you just said. I believe he's the best football player in the game. He's the best quarterback. And if you said, okay, I'm going to give you one quarterback to go win a game with tomorrow, who you taking? I'm taking my homeboy. 5 years from now, I'm taking him because he has no weakness. He can change arm angles. He can throw from the pocket. You put him on the move, he can still throw with accuracy on the move. He's the few guys that can throw the ball 50 yards on his back foot. And you saw that last night. When you allow a quarterback to go pick up, he went 9-for-10 throwing the ball on third down. They were 10 of 13. So he threw for 9 first downs. He ran for another one. 10 of 13 on third down, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the blitz, he ate the blitz up, 7 of 9, 114 on the touchdown. You see, we got some video of him pump faking and getting out of the pocket on the move and throwing the ball sidearm across his body to Mecole Hardman. This is just too good. Look at this. He pump fakes, jumps in the air, slides to his left. There are very few guys that can open up their body going to the left and throw the ball back across their body like that. Look at this. This is backpedaling, throwing the ball. Look at this.
Unbelievable.
There are only a handful of guys. There might be one or two guys in the NFL that can do that. One plays in Green Bay, and the other plays in Kansas City. He was special, and the gap between him. Look, Russell Wilson may win the MVP, and Russell is phenomenal. But what you're watching right there, that's a transcendent talent, and they don't come along very often.
Mm. My turn. I, for one, am not going to overreact to what I saw last night because for the third time, I saw Patrick Mahomes has Baltimore's number. He is now 3-0 against Wink Martindale's vaunted Baltimore Ravens defense. Meanwhile, the Kansas City defense has Lamar Jackson's number. I don't know how. I don't know why. But they were all over him all night long. Lamar Jackson is 21-1 against all the other teams he's faced. He's 0-3 against this team. And last night, I saw Wink Martindale send blitzers 45% of the time against Mahomes. On those plays, Mahomes went 15 of 19 for 191 yards and 3 touchdowns, all against the blitz. Not one time did I see a free runner hit Patrick Mahomes on a blitz. They stoned every blitz as if they knew what was coming. They blocked it up like you couldn't draw it up on a whiteboard. They had a hat on a hat all the way across the line of scrimmage. I've never seen anything like it, except for the one run. Marlon Humphrey got free on the one third down play, and they had it schemed up so beautifully that they knew that Marcus Peters was going to bite. Yep. He was cover three, he had the deep right third, and he bit up on the underneath receiver, and whoosh, Mecole Hardman flew right by him because they knew Marcus Peters from all those practices when he was a Chief. And it was bombs away, right on target. And I listen, he played about as, Patrick Mahomes played about as well as you could play a whole football game. He didn't do a whole lot wrong. Man, had a 98 QBR. It's hard to have a 98 QBR.
Oh, yeah, 98?
But every time I looked up on the other side, they blitzed 35% of the time. And every time they blitzed, there were free runners chasing Lamar right out of the pocket.
Right.
And he's on the run. And again, is he built to come back? Well, he's never had to come back in his pro career.
That's not there.
You know, when you get him down by 17, like right out of the gate, he's going to have a hard time. Their offense isn't built to do that, right? And yet I give him some credit that he got him back in the game. It was 27-20 early in the fourth quarter, right?
Right.
I mean, you got to give him some credit there.
But Skip, you said something interesting. You said you're not going to overreact to one game against the Baltimore Ravens. Are you overreacting 2018? Because he was 50 touchdowns and MVP. Are you going to react to 2019?
He's Super Bowl MVP. Help me out here. Are you overreacting to what we saw last year in the biggest game played in the sport called the Super Bowl?
No.
Patrick Mahomes was not very good in the Super Bowl.
No. What did he do? Didn't he overcome that?
Well, know is he threw a late third quarter interception, and they were down 20-10, and I thought it was ball game. Turns right around on the next series early in the fourth quarter and throws another bad interception.
Did it end the game?
And they were down 20-10. And then he got away with a 3rd-and-15 throw that was more of a punt than a pass.
Wasp.
And Wait a second. Tyreek had to come back and fair catch the pass out in the flat.
Yep, the man is backpedaling. Yeah. He got a defender in his face.
He did. And he no-looked through it into the flat and got away with it.
A 44-yard flat.
Got away with it. Well, I don't know. If Jimmy Garoppolo hadn't gone 3-for-11 for 36 yards in the fourth quarter with an interception, we would be having a different conversation.
Reggie, you notice this? When my homeboy does something, it's about what the other quarterback didn't do. But there's a certain guy that comes back in the Super Bowl, and it's always what he did, never what the other quarterback didn't do. Are you noticing that too, Reggie?
That's what I notice about Patrick Mahomes is, one, he is the comeback king because all last year we seen him come back
24
week
down
in and week out against teams. Down by 24 points to win games. And then the final straw is winning the Super Bowl and having to come back and win that game. So to me, what we're seeing right now, Patrick Mahomes, we're seeing this team really hit its full capability. And we're only in week two.
And he's doing this with no preseason. Hey, Reggie, remember they said the first 4 weeks, they're going to treat this like preseason. So they got to play their way into shape into the regular season form. He's looking like this.
Yep. That's crazy. That's crazy that he's already in like
trouble
this early in the season. The rest of the league is in trouble.
They're in a heap of trouble.
Again, if the Kansas City Chiefs already look like this right now, what are they going to look like in week eight? What are they going to look like at the end of the season? They're really all hitting.
What are they going to look like?
They just showed us the gap.
I want 10 cases right now when they play Tampa. I want 10 cases to do right now. 10 cases. Put your mouth is, Skip Bayless. I want 10 cases. Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes.
We've got to see who's healthy.
They don't know what they don't I don't care who healthy. I don't care who healthy.
Well, Tom Brady's had his way against Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, really?
You know what? It was just a couple of years ago, I watched Tom Brady convert 3 straight 3rd-and-10s in overtime at Kansas City in the AFC Championship
game. Did they play last year?
Did they play last year?
They played one.
What happened? Yep. But it's still 2-1, GOAT.
If they play again, they won't go play again because he in the NFC now, so they won't go that far.
Well, right now, Lamar is 0-3 against Mahomes, and right now, I must say it, as much as I love Lamar like Reggie does, Lamar still has 2 stains on his playoff resume because he's played 2 home playoff games, and he did not play well in either one of them.
But, Reggie, you know this. This offense is not built to play from behind. They're not built to play from behind the sticks. They can't be second and 14. They don't need to be third and nine. And it seems to me is that, like, when Lamar falls behind, he starts to press. We saw that in the playoff game against Tennessee, Skip. He got did. Behind. He started to press, interceptions, got careless with the football. And also, guys are going to have to make plays. He's going to have to make some plays. I mean, he's got flushed outside of the pocket. He's got to find a way to hit that play. To Mark Andrews. Yep. He had Hollywood Brown up the rail. You've got to make that throw. When you play against Mahomes, you can't have those missed opportunities, because missed opportunities mean you're coming off the field and you're allowing Mahomes to come back onto the field. So Lamar's going to have to shore that up. They're going to be there. Don't be surprised if these two teams settle who decides to go play in Tampa.
I'm going to remind both of you, it's a long season, and we've only just begun.
That's why it's so crazy that Patrick Mahomes is already playing like
this. And looking
this.
Like this. I got 15 more years of this, unfortunately. You think the Broncos can trade for? What can we trade to get Patrick Mahomes in there?
They're going to give up the entire organization. They're going to send John Elway. They're going to send everybody.
Hey, Brittany, would you be willing to give up 2% of the franchise to get Mahomes?
You know what? Take everybody else too.
Wishful thinking, Shannon. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's going to be a possibility for you. Oh, well. Reggie, we appreciate you joining us always. Thank you for your time.
No mercy.
We are a little over 24 hours from tip-off for Game 1 of the NBA Finals between the Lakers and Heat. Both teams are entering the series red hot, only losing 3 playoff games each on their path to the championship round. And while LeBron is looking for his 4th career championship, Miami is looking to win its 4th as a franchise and first since LeBron left Miami back in 2014. We're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. I can't believe it, Chris. We're finally here. We're finally to the final. So how much of a shot do you give the Heat?
A smidgen. Not a hint. Not a dash. Definitely not a scooch. A smidgen. That's it. No, look, the Miami Heat cannot beat the Los Angeles Lakers. For Miami to win this series, the Lakers have to beat themselves. They have to beat themselves by their role players going cold from the outside and not complimenting LeBron and AD. They have to beat themselves by missing free throws. They have to beat themselves by turning the ball over, which they did a lot during the regular season. Playoff Rondo has to revert into regular season Rondo, and Dwight Howard has to revert from being a locker room joy back to being a locker room cancer. That's what has to happen for the Heat to win, because they just can't beat the Lakers on their own. Now, what they have to do to help themselves is they have to get hot and shoot lights out from three-point range. They were the second-best three-point shooting team in the league during the regular season. They haven't shot it well in the playoffs, but they better be lights out in this series. They have to out-hustle the Lakers. They got to get every loose ball, every 50-50 ball, battle them on the glass, kind of try to wear the Lakers down with their tenacity and their grit and their never-say-die attitude. I think that's what they did to Boston. I don't know. They can't do that to the Lakers. It'll be tough because of the Lakers' size, but they've got to try. And then finally, Eric Spoelstra, who came up with a defense, the wall, walling off the paint, that stopped Giannis. He came up with a defense, the zone, that bothered Boston. He has got to come up with something, probably a mix of those two things, to slow down LeBron James. Now, remember, when Spoelstra was coaching LeBron in 2013 and they beat the Spurs in 7 games, the first 3 games of that series, the Spurs had LeBron befuddled. LeBron averaged 16.5 points on 39% shooting in the first 3 games of that series. Then he figured it out and they won in 7. Spoelstra should go back and watch that tape and see what they did to slow down LeBron and come up with some variation of. I know they had Tim Duncan, can Bam Adebayo mimic Duncan to some degree, but those are the things they have to do to have a chance to pull off what will be one of the greatest upsets in finals history. I don't think it's happening. Lakers in five.
I picked the Lakers in this series. I think the Heat deserves a lot of respect, though, because what they're doing, what they did to the number one seed, it made it look easy in beating the Bucks. What they did to Boston, for the most part, it made it look easy. And Boston is a young and up-and-coming team. Their piece is going to be there for the foreseeable future. And so they're playing extremely well. And as you mentioned, they have not shot the three ball well in the playoffs. But when the rubber needed to meet the road, they shot the three ball well against the Celtics down the stretch. In all the games that they won, when they needed a three ball, Tyler Hero came up big. Dragic came up big. Duncan Robinson came up big. When they needed a three and they had to have it to quell any momentum that the Celtics were trying to run, they would snuff it out with the three ball. So they're more than capable. They're a hustle. They don't have a superstar, but they have players that fit that scheme that don't care who gets the credit. Jimmy Butler might shoot 20 shots one game and he might shoot five the next. Because Tyler Hero has it going. Because Dragic has it going. The difference that I see now is that why Spoelstra is going to have a tough time stopping LeBron is because of that 6'10 monster that they got now in Anthony Davis. He's for real. I think he's answered the question because everybody had, is he that dog? He's answered it. You saw what he did. He made mincemeat out of anybody. He realized it's going to be interesting to see him and Bam. It's going to be Kentucky on Kentucky crime, Chris. But I like our guy. And LeBron James knows he's close. He's in the finals of the 100 meters for the gold medal. Four-time champion. Mm. I'm riding with my guy.
It's over. You got it. I already congratulated you.
I've been running.
So, Chris Broussard, I'm going to use a different word. You use smidge. I'm going to use my wife Ernestine's favorite word, which is drop. If I say, you feel better? She says, I feel a drop better. I give the Miami Heat a drop of a chance to
win
this series.
What about a dab? Not even a dab?
I think it drops even smaller
it
than
is.
A dab.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I want you to give more respect than that, Skip.
I give them little to no respect. Chris, you've been covering this league for a long time. So have I. I know going back to my first go-round with covering the Lakers out here for the LA Times back in the 1970s, the first thing I was taught by Jerry West and then Pat Riley, you win in this league with stars. The Lakers have two superstars. The Heat have no superstars. That's the final score here. It's 2-0. I love Jimmy Butler. I love his guts, his grit, his leadership, but he's not a superstar. I love to watch Miami play basketball because they do play the right way. They mm-hmm. play as hard as they can play every play. They share it. They make the right decision at the right time. And as Jimmy always says, it's not about stats or fame with us. And it's not. But to Chris's point, if you told me that for seven games, the Heat could shoot 40% from three for seven NBA title games, mm-hmm. Finals games, I'd say I would give you a shot in game seven to win it.
And you need to get up a bunch of threes, okay. too. You can't just shoot 10 of them and shoot 40%.
But you guys both know, when you get to the NBA Finals, that rim starts to shrink. And it starts to look like the size of a hole on a golf course, a little tiny cup that you're trying to shoot into. And Tyler Hero's going to go up for his first three-point shot tomorrow night. That's the basket? It looks so big against the Celtics. It doesn't look big anymore. I don't think they can shoot 40%. I don't think they have much of a chance. Would I love to see a six- or seven-game series? Sure, I would. Would Pat Riley like nothing better in the whole world than to beat LeBron James and to get some revenge on LeBron, leaving him high and dry when he took his talents back to Cleveland? Yes, he would. And I would like to hear Chris speak on that. How much do you think the bitterness lingers Pat Riley versus LeBron James?
Yeah, I was going to say, Skip, if there was, you know, because people have compared this to maybe it could be Detroit over Shaq and Kobe in 04. Remember that upset?
Do I?
But that Lakers team was falling apart. Kobe obviously was going through his trial, you know, in Colorado. Yeah. And that Lakers locker room was falling apart at the end of the Kobe-Shaq era. This Lakers locker room is together, and LeBron is focused. And he obviously is focused on getting his fourth ring. We know how important that is, getting that ring for the Lakers. So he's not that one superstar in L.A. that never got it done for the Lakers. All that's a factor, But, Skip, you hit it on the head. Miami and Pat Riley is the factor as well. We know how upset Riley was when LeBron left. Even before LeBron made his decision, I remember being at the old network talking about it on TV.
Yep.
Riley was making comments without saying LeBron's name where you could tell he was talking about LeBron. Do you have the guts? Mm-hmm. Do you have the fortitude to stick it out and stay? You know, and you knew he was talking about LeBron without saying his name. And you know, there's the story that somebody in the Heat organization, most people think it was Pat Riley, told LeBron he made the biggest mistake of his career when he left Miami and went back to Cleveland. And, you know, LeBron, we know he's a forgiving guy. He went back to Cleveland with Dan Gilbert. But he remembers, and he definitely remembers this, and he felt at times, in some ways, slighted by the treatment down in Miami. In some ways, I don't want to overstate it, but yeah, he would like nothing more than to bury the Heat in these finals. And that's why I don't think he's going to play around. I don't think he's going to, you know, give them any life. Because look, if it somehow got to a game seven, anything can happen in a game seven. All yep. bets are off with that.
Skip.
So I think he's going to want to bury them early.
I think the thing that they could win this series if they shoot the three ball like San Antonio shot the three ball against the Heat if they shoot the three ball like that, Chris, all bets are off.
So my final point is...
Well, and the thing...
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, think about how experienced that Spurs team was. And I mentioned the Detroit team in 04. Experience. This Miami team is very young. Outside of Jimmy Butler, I mean, Dragic has got experience. But Hero Duncan Robinson, who was playing Division III a few years ago.
Was.
Bam. I mean, it would be historic if these young kids could beat the Heat, Lakers
in this. It would be impossible. If the NBA Finals were just one game for all the marbles, I would give the Heat a real shot one game. But it's seven games. It's just hard to beat two superstars four times when you don't have a superstar.
Yeah. All right, Chris, we appreciate you joining us. I'm going to stick with Ernestine. I think a drop there.
Drop.
I think that's a good way to put this one.
Yeah.
We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.